Thank you very much. That's a good testimony. Always good to hear testimonies from people about how the Lord has blessed them. And the Lord has greatly blessed me as well, especially since I started giving. I started giving several years ago and tithing to the Lord. And the Lord has always blessed and been nothing but good since I started serving God. I don't have any complaints. We're going to go ahead and dismiss Children's Church this morning. If you're ages 8 and below, you go to the back there. Miss Cassidy is already waiting back there. I think my wife will escort you. But if you're ages 8 and below, thank you for the special music this morning. It's good, very good, a very good song, and it's a blessing. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This morning, every one of us we're running a race. If you're a Christian, you're in the Christian race. You're in the race, and we want to run a good race. We don't just want to be in the race, but we want to run a good race. And so I want to preach to you this morning about running a good race. Running a good race. That's what Paul is going to try to emphasize to the Galatians here about running a good race. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. We're going to look at some essentials for running a good race as a Christian. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness and your grace towards us. Lord, you are the Almighty God. You are the head of all things. Lord Jesus Christ, you're the head of the church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to listen to your word. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be inclined to your word, that we'd listen, have open ears, open hearts to receive your word. I pray that you'd help me and strengthen me to say what needs to be said. Keep me from error and things that are not beneficial, not edifying, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that we can come and we can assemble together, Lord. I pray that our time would be profitable and that we would grow and be built up in the faith. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Paul is going to transition now into the false teachers that are impeding the path of the Galatians. They're the problem. They're hindering them. He says in verse number 7, he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you." I don't know if you have any experience in the area of running or if we have any runners here that like to run. But if you're going to be a runner, it doesn't take a whole lot of equipment. You don't have to have a helmet, you don't have to have knee pads, you don't have to have shin guards, you don't have to have a glove to catch the ball. You don't even have to have a whole lot of talent if you're going to be a runner. I go out and I run every once in a while, and I haven't been in a while, but you don't need any kind of special uniform or anything like that. What you need, basically, is just a good pair of running shoes, a lot of open country, and the heart to do so. That's all you need if you're going to be a runner. You don't have to have any special plays to rehearse like you do in football or baseball. You don't have to do anything, but basically you just have to have a desire to be a runner. You just have to want to run. And running is good and beneficial for you. I mean, it'll keep you in good physical shape. It's got lots of good health benefits. Builds up your self-confidence. It's always good to be able to run and then go a little bit further the next time and build yourself up just a little bit more, and you find that you have just a little bit more confidence as you go. And a lot of times it's good for setting goals. You think, man, I want to run just a little bit further than I did the last time. It helps you to set goals, and it's just good for you. But if you're going to run a race, and you're going to run a good race, I mean, not just be the average, not just get in the race. I mean, if you're going to compete, competition level running, there's some essentials that you have to have if you're going to be a good runner. One of those things is you have to have the right kind of diet. I mean, you can't run a good race and survive on potato chips and french fries and Coca-Colas and donuts and all that. You just can't. I mean, not and be a very good one. I mean, you can get out there and you can run a little while, but you're not going to go very far. After a while, you're going to be out of breath, and you know what the problem is? You didn't drink enough water. You didn't eat the right kind of foods. There's a problem there. You got to have endurance. You know what's going to happen if you get out there and you start running long distance? Your mind's going to start playing tricks on you. Your mind's going to start saying, hey, man, you need to stop. This is hurting you. You're out of breath. You can't go any further. You're going to have to build up some endurance. You're going to have to be able to go a little bit further. You're going to have heart. You're going to want to do it. Nobody goes out there and they compete in a race without having the heart to do so, without having the desire to do so. And you're going to have focus. You're going to have to look towards the end. You're going to have to look towards the finish line and say, man, I want to make it to that point. A lot of times when I'm running, I'm coming around that fourth lap and I'm about three quarters of the way around my third lap and I want to make it to that mile. I'm thinking, man, you got to stop. You just got to quit. But you got to have that focus. You got to keep going if you're going to run a good race. Well, in the Christian life, it's no different. Many times Paul likens the Christian life to a race that all of us have to run. And here he is talking to the Galatians, and he's expressing his disappointment to them. He's saying, man, you were running good. You were doing good. You were serving God. You were in the race. But now you're out. You're not running anymore. You're not in the Christian life. You're not in the Christian race anymore, and you've dropped out. You become a Christian dropout. Boy, I don't have enough toes and fingers to count how many people have dropped out of the Christian race and the Christian life in my little short span of life. I've seen a lot of people, and you say, well, this is the same theme over and over, Brother Jeff. I mean, we keep on going back to this. Well, that's the theme of the letter. Paul is trying to encourage someone to get back in the race, to believe on Jesus Christ, to do what's right, to trust in the Lord. And that's the theme of the letter here. And he likens it to a race, and he says, you ran well, but you're not doing so anymore. You know, you've dropped out. And a lot of times, Christians will drop out of the race. Excuse me. They will drop out of the Christian race. You know, they once were serving the Lord, but what happened? Well, they're not there anymore. They're not serving God anymore. What happened? Well, maybe their conversion was based on something that was flimsy, and it wasn't actually on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was on something else. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a lot of times that happens. But Paul is trying to encourage the Galatians here. He's saying, man, you need to get back in the race. You need to keep serving. I want the same thing for us here today. I don't want a year from now that some of us have dropped out and we're not serving God anymore and we quit doing the things that we were doing. I want us to stay in the race, and I want us to continue and finish the race and to run a good race. I want us to run a good race. And we can. We can run a good race as Christians. But I want to look at three essential elements of running a good race. All right, the first thing is, we must stay in the race. You have to stay in the race. And then number two, we must eliminate hindrances to the race. And then number three, we have to embrace offenses, because offenses are going to come as Christians. And if you and I just kind of chicken out every time there's some kind of obstacle that comes our way, you're not going to run a good race. You're going to quit. You're going to flunk out. I don't want us to do that. But the first thing is, you must stay in the race. That's elementary. If you're going to run a good race, you have to stay in the race. You can't quit. You can't get off the track and go do something else. You can't go down a different path and run a good race as a Christian. You got to stay on the track. You got to stay in line. You got to stay in your lane and stay in the race. You can't quit. And Paul says, you did run well. You were running good, but you're not anymore. You're not in the race. If you're going to run a good race, you have to stay in the race. And the Galatians, at least one time or another, had believed on Christ alone for salvation. At one point in their life, yeah, they were serving God, and there was plenty of evidence that they were Christians and that they were doing right, but now they're not. Now they're no longer in the race. They're no longer practicing Christians, and now they are practicing Judaizers. Now they are working for their salvation. Now they're believing in a false doctrine. Not believing the same thing that they once did. Now they are no longer on the road towards glorification. Now they are on the road towards self-glorification. They're not believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. And now they are attempting to justify themselves by keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised. That's what they're doing. And so if any Christian leaves the faith, they don't stay in the race. We've used some things here that could be a problem, could be some kind of hindrance to them. One of them is, it shows a lack of clear understanding in relation to the gospel. Could it be possible that the Galatians did not have a clear understanding of the gospel? That's why they left. They didn't perceive that Jesus Christ had actually fulfilled salvation on their behalf, and they're trying to achieve it on their own. A lot of times, if a person is in a race and they don't perceive the finish line, or they don't perceive the goal that's in mind of the race that they're running, they're going to leave. They don't stay. So maybe the Galatians didn't have a good understanding of the gospel. If we don't understand or see the point of Christianity, we become disinterested and sidetracked, and we're no longer in the race. That could be the problem with the Galatians here. We don't understand the goal or the point of the Christian life. They'll quit the race. They don't understand. Well, maybe their conversion was only based on a feeling or an emotion that they once had, and they don't have that feeling or emotion anymore, and so they quit believing. Not believing in the gospel anymore. They've left the faith. There's a lack of understanding there. It's a head problem. They don't have the understanding. Number two, it could be a heart problem. Could be a heart problem. The Galatians had stopped trusting in Jesus Christ. They had a heart problem. And I'm reminded of the words that Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter number 14. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Trust is a heart problem. You don't trust in God because there is a heart problem. And the Galatians had stopped trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, so it could have been a heart problem. They dropped out of the race because basically their heart's just not in anymore. A lot of people quit running, don't even run physically because they just don't have the desire. They don't want to do that. And we as people do what we want to do, don't we? That's why the heart is so important. But in order to persevere in the race, your heart must be in the race. You must want to stay in the race. No one finishes or runs a good race without the desire to do so. You and I must have the heart to do so. So what is the point of the Christian life? I'd like to give you my definition of the point of the Christian life. The Christian life, the point of it is to live our lives in holiness before the Lord so that we may honor and glorify Him in word and deed. That is the point of the Christian life. It is to glorify God. Salvation is for the glory of God. The primary reason for salvation is not so that you can have a better life. It's not so that you can live your best life now. Now, I pray that you do. But that's not the point of the Christian life. The point of the Christian life is God Almighty. That's who it's for. So if you and I want to run the race, we must at the very least, stay in the race, because dropping out of the race is symptomatic of a greater problem. You got a heart problem or you got a head problem, one of the two. So don't be a Christian dropout, because a Christian dropout does not glorify God. It brings shame to the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle spoke about people who did not live consistent lives before God Almighty in Romans chapter number 2. He was talking about Jews and he says, hey, you're supposed to be keeping the law. He says, you that say you shouldn't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And they were. And you know what was happening? People from the outside were looking at them and saying, hey, look, they were blaspheming the name of God because of inconsistent living among God's people. And if you and I drop out of the Christian race, you know what we're doing? We're giving occasion to the enemies of God to saying, ha ha, look, I knew it wasn't real. I knew it wasn't real. They said they were a Christian. They said they believed in Christ. Now look at them. They ain't even in the race anymore. They're not even serving God anymore. You have to stay in the race. Don't get out of the race. We see in John chapter number 6, Jesus Christ had fed 5,000 men and women. And they followed Jesus Christ closely. And they were there. And they loved Jesus Christ. And they were happy whenever their bellies were being filled. Well, they had plenty of food and Jesus Christ was supplying their needs. Boy, it was wonderful. But then Jesus Christ started saying some things they didn't like. And they walked away. Whenever Jesus Christ started saying, hey, I am the bread that's come down from heaven and you must have me in order to have eternal life, they turned up their noses at that and they walked with him no more. Well, they got out of the Christian race. They got out of the Christian life. They don't want to follow Jesus Christ anymore. There's Jesus Christ and he's talking to his disciples and he says, will you also go away? Are you going to go away too? And his disciple says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're not going anywhere. We love you, Lord. We're going to stay with you. But a lot of people, they don't stay in the Christian race because of some kind of sacrifice. Whenever the Bible says something that they just don't like or they just can't stand, boy, that's it. Boy, they're out. They're walking out the door. Ain't going to come back. They don't like it. What, are you going to ask me to sacrifice? You're going to ask me to give something? You're going to ask me to do something? Well, I'm not going to stick around. I'm not going to do that. If you want to run a good race, you have to stay in the race. Don't let it ever be said of you, ladies and gentlemen, you did run well. You did run well. You have to stay in the race. Not only must we stay in the race, but we must eliminate hindrances to our race. We see that in verse number 7 to 9. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He goes on to say, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says, hey man, there is someone who has hindered you from believing the truth and from obeying the truth. And he says, this persuasion didn't come from him who calleth you. Do you know who called them to salvation? It was God. And he said, this thing that you're learning here, this doctrine that you're learning, it didn't come from God. It came from somebody else. And he says, there's someone who has hindered you from believing the truth. There's someone who has stopped you. There's someone who's blocking your path. There's someone who's impeding your path and you're not progressing anymore. You've gotten out of the race and it was a problem. It was a hindrance. If you and I are going to run a good Christian race, we must eliminate hindrances in our lives. He says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what that leaven was? That leaven was false doctrine and false teachers. He says, you got to get that out. You got to get it out. He says, who hath hindered you from obeying the truth? To obey the truth is to believe the truth. To obey the truth is to trust the truth. And something had blocked or slowed down or held back these Galatians from staying in the race. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to run a race, I don't want to put a bunch of ankle weights on. I don't want to carry around a 50-pound sack of cement while I'm running. It's kind of a problem, you know. Can't really run very well if you're carrying around an extra 50 pounds. Matter of fact, I don't even want to carry one of those. I don't like that. I have to every once in a while, but there's the Galatians, and God had called them to salvation, and that persuasion, they had been persuaded to do something else. Something had impeded their path. And God calls people to salvation in a specific way. He only calls people to salvation through the gospel. That's it. He does not call people to salvation through good works. only through the gospel. That's it. Proclamation of earning good works and meriting salvation is only a hindrance to receiving salvation. And here's the Galatians. Boy, they met up with the wrong people. They got involved in the wrong people. So false doctrine is a tool or it is a deception. It does not lead us to salvation. And there is Paul's wish for these teachers. He says, man, I wish these men were cut off from you. He says, I don't want them to have any more influence in your life. I don't want them to have any more communication with you. I don't want you to see them anymore. I want them cut off. I don't want them to have any more kind of influence on you. None at all. He says, they have become a hindrance to you. They have become a block in your path. And they have given them leaven or false doctrine. If you and I desire to run a good race, we must eliminate any kind of hindrance in our spiritual lives. We have to get the leaven out of our lives. Well, that stuff's only going to get in your way. It's going to slow you down in the Christian life. The leaven of false doctrine. Jesus Christ warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 and verse number 6. He says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What is that? That's false doctrine that they were teaching. Tradition superimposed over Scripture. He says, you better not pay attention to that. Not only that, they were seeking a sign from heaven. Another example of leaven or false doctrine. Hypocrisy. All of these things. And Jesus Christ said, get those things out of your life. Don't have anything to do with those things. How about us here today? We are constantly surrounded by religious and secular influences that are contrary to what the Word of God has to say. Let me tell you something here this morning. Those influences are going to be a stumbling block to you if you allow them to have influence in your life. Don't allow those things, don't allow that stuff to come into your mind. Don't consider it at all. We need to cut those things off from our lives. Get that out of our lives. We must eliminate them from our sphere of influence. Now, I understand that we can't eliminate everything. Yes, we live in this world. We can't live like monks and go to a monastery and just be with ourselves and that's it. We can't do that. Yeah, there's going to be some kind of influence out there. I understand that. So what should we do about those things? We have to live in this world, don't we? What we should do is we should view everything you see, everything you hear, through the lens of the Word of God, and use the Word of God as your filter for all things that you see and that you hear. Living your life by the Word of God and not by those kinds of influences. False doctrine is going to be an influence and a hindrance in your life, and you must get it out. You know what else is going to be a hindrance in your life? Sin. Sin is going to be an influence and a hindrance in your life. Sin is going to hinder your spiritual growth. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Boy, sin is so easily besets us, doesn't it? Boy, it's like a weight that holds us back in our Christian life. Well, we could do so much more for the Lord, but yet that sin gets in there. And it hinders us and weighs us down. Sin is oppressive. It will plague you. It will destroy you. We have to get it out of our lives. The Apostle Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He was talking about running the Christian race. And he says that I have to keep my body under subjection. I have to discipline my body because if I don't, when I have preached to others, I will be a castaway. I will be disqualified from the ministry if I let my body have rule over me. He says, I've got to discipline my body. Same way for us here today. You want to leave the Christian life early? Just let have sin have dominion over you. Just let it have its rule and way in your life. It's a hindrance to our lives. It will destroy our lives and it will hinder your Christian race. Lastly, if we want to run a good race, we must be willing to embrace offenses for the sake of the gospel. He says in verse number 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? For then is the offense of the cross ceased. In order for us to run a good race, we have to embrace offenses because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, offenses are going to come for the gospel. Not everybody's going to like you if you preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, most people are not going to like you. You can bank on it. You can count on it. And Paul the Apostle says, look, if I was still preaching a works-based salvation, I wouldn't have any offenses against me. Do you know why? Because just about everyone can agree that you have to do something for salvation. They can agree that you have to merit some salvation in some way. Now, they might disagree on what that way is, but they will agree that you have to do something. And Paul says, hey, if I'm still preaching works-based salvation, then the offense has ceased. But Paul wasn't preaching works-based salvation. Paul was preaching that you had to trust Jesus Christ and that there is not a possible way that you can reach God on your own. And Paul the Apostle was, hey, he had been a Pharisee, had he not? He had been a religious figure, and he had not been under persecution. But here he comes and he becomes a Christian, and he starts preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And then what happens? Persecution happens. Shipwrecks happen. Beatings happen. Being imprisoned happened. Hatred happened. Obstacles came to his path. Offenses came to him. People hated him. He didn't experience that before, but now all of a sudden he's preaching grace, and now the offenses are coming. You want to get along good with people as a Christian? You know what you can do? Just tell them, hey, just do as good as you can. Just be the best that you can be. Just be the best person that you can be, and you'll be okay. Try your hardest. You'll get along great with people. But a works-based salvation, that it doesn't offend anyone. It feeds the sinful nature. It strokes the ego of fallen man. It tells you that you have the potential and you have the power within yourself to earn your own salvation. Who wouldn't get along with that? All religions except for Bible-believing Christianity teaches that. That's what they teach. Just be as good as you can and you'll be justified, because every person believes they're pretty good in their own eyes. Until you start comparing yourself to God or the Bible, and then you start seeing your fallenness. Then you start seeing how bad that you are, whenever you start thinking critical of yourself. But it's only when you start preaching that you are a sinner, that you are undone, that you can't reach God under any circumstances, that people start hating you, and they don't like you anymore. Because you're telling them, you're condemning them, that they are a sinner. And there's Paul the Apostle. He says, you better start embracing some offenses if you're going to run a good Christian race. We're going to have to expect and embrace the offense of the gospel. We can't try to shy away from the offense of the gospel. We can't try and circumvent the offense of the gospel. We're not trying to stir up controversy just for controversy's sake. No, we aren't doing that. But when you start preaching the gospel, people aren't going to like it. There's a parable in Matthew chapter number 13. About some seed that is sown on four different types of soil that represent four different types of hearts. There's a man who's sowing some seed there. He's sowing some seed, and part of the seed goes by the wayside. He sows more seed on the stony ground. He sows some more seed among thorns, and then he sows some seed on the good ground. Well, the seed that falls by the wayside, the fowls come and devour that seed, and they eat it up. It doesn't bring forth any fruit. The seed that falls on the stony ground does spring up, but it doesn't have any depth. It doesn't have any root in it. And the sun comes out and scorches that plant, and it withers away. And Jesus Christ compared that heart to someone who receives the word. Yeah, they get the word. But guess what? It doesn't have any root. It doesn't have any depth to it. And then the sun comes out and scorches the plant. Doesn't bring forth any fruit. You know what happens to some people sometimes? They receive the word, but then offenses come because of the word, and they don't stay in the race, and they don't bring forth any fruit. You and I have to embrace the offenses that come with the word. We have to be willing to bear reproach for the name of Jesus Christ. Is that what you're willing to do? Are you willing to bear reproach for the name of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to give in to peer pressure? And you're going to say, well, all truth is relative. You can believe what you're going to believe, and I'll believe what I'm going to believe, and I have my truth, and you have your truth, and you don't bother me, and I won't bother you, and then we'll get along fine. Because that's what most people do. They believe all truth's relative. Yeah, the Word of God, well, that's your truth. I got my own truth. That's the way I live. That's not what the apostles did. They said, this is the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He didn't say, I am a way, or I am my own way, or I am my followers' way. No, He's the way for everyone in all the world. And that's offensive. That's offensive, especially in our society today, in American society. We're becoming more relativized by the minute. And then you go out and preach a gospel of, hey, it's only one way, and it's only through Jesus Christ. Right. Oh, you're not going to make some enemies. You're going to make some enemies. So we must embrace the offense. How do we embrace the offense? You have to embrace your Savior, Jesus Christ. And when they crucified Jesus Christ, they treated Him as a criminal because of what He said and because He condemned them. They drug Him out of the city. Out of the city. They said, we don't want you in our city anymore. You get out. We're taking you to the hill of Golgotha, and we're going to treat you as a criminal, and we're going to nail you to a cross because we hate you. And that's what they did. And they lied about Him, and they took Him out. The scriptures say in Hebrews chapter number 13 about the followers of Jesus Christ, it says, let us go forth therefore unto Him, bearing His reproach. Amen. They didn't like Jesus Christ. They're not going to like us as well. But we have to embrace those offenses. And Jesus Christ suffered without the gate, and He sanctified His people through His own blood. And the followers are going to do the same thing. We're going to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. We have to embrace our Savior. We can't sugarcoat our Savior. We can't lie about our Savior just to make it more palatable to an unbelieving world. We can't do that. We can't do that. We have to embrace the offenses. If you and I do that, and it's happening throughout Christianity today in America, they're trying to make Jesus Christ a little bit more palatable. You know what we've done? We've jumped out of the race. We're not in the race anymore. We have to embrace our Savior. The offense of the gospel. We have to embrace His Word in truth as well. If you and I get offended every time we read something in the Scriptures and we quit on Christianity just because the Word of God says something, you're not embracing offenses. We have to embrace the offenses that come. I'm glad that I have the Word of God here that is an offense to me every once in a while. It's against me every once in a while. I'd be kind of worried if I had a Bible that was always agreed with what I had to say. You know what that would mean? That would mean that I'm my own little God. I am my own standard. But we have a Bible that's against us. Why? Because we have a sin nature and shows us. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We have to embrace the Word of God. We must. It's offensive. Okay, we'll get offended and get over it. But continue to love it. Continue to love it. Well, people don't like me. Okay, well, just get over it. Keep on believing in Jesus Christ anyway. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's the offense. By and large, society is not going to like Christians, not Bible-believing Christians. They're not going to. It's an offense to them. It's amazing to me that anyone believes the gospel. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that someone would believe the gospel. It's supernatural. It is. So I don't know about you here today. I don't know if you're thinking about getting out of the race or if your race has been kind of suffering, perhaps. Maybe you're thinking about jumping out of the race. Maybe you're thinking about giving it up. We get tired. Okay? I'm a human being just like anybody else, and I get tired. Thoughts go through my mind, and I'm sure thoughts go through your mind. What about you here today? Do you want to run a good race, or maybe you're out of the race? You haven't gotten into the race. Well, there's good news for you here this morning. You can get back in the race. You can get back in the race. No case is too hopeless. Nobody's too far gone where you can't get back in. And here's Paul the Apostle. He's talking to the Galatians, and he's saying, hey, look, get back in. Get back in. No one is beyond hope. And what is our hope and confidence as Christians? It's the Lord. The Lord is our confidence. And there is Paul the Apostle in verse number 10. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that, hey, you're going to change your mind. You're going to get back on track and you're going to get back in the race and you're going to do what's right. And those people that have been troubling you, they're going to bear their judgment. Judgment is coming for them. What about you here this morning? I have confidence in every one of us through the Lord that we are going to keep going, that we are going to stay strong, that we're going to keep running the race. And Paul's confidence, his confidence is not an overconfidence in their abilities or their decisions. Paul's confidence was through the Lord. God had confidence in the Lord that God would bring those Galatians to himself and that they would keep going. He had confidence. It wasn't in them, it was through the Lord. So we see right here Paul's love for the brethren. And we see that how that he told them the truth. And he explained to them what exactly salvation was. He had love for his brothers and sisters in Christ as well. What about us here this morning? Do we have that love for brothers and sisters in Christ? Because Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13 and verse number 35, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And Paul was saying, I have love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. That is a defining characteristic of what a Christian is. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who loves brothers and sisters in Christ. And he gave them the truth. His love and his confidence for these Galatians, it's not self-generated. It's a love and a confidence that is through the Lord. What about you here this morning? Are you going to stay in the race? Are you going to try and run a good race? Man, I hope your confidence is in the Lord this morning. I hope that you keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you develop a love for the Word of God. I hope that you continue to serve Him. And I hope that this time next year that we're still here and you're still here and you're still serving God and you're still in the race. I hope that each and every one of you have been born again, that you're saved, that you love Jesus Christ. Let us stay in the race. Let us run a good race. Let's pray.